To Revelation chapter 1, last book in the Bible, verses 9 to 20. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, "Write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." I turned round to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash round his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like a blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you've seen and what is now and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. I wanted to start, I was led to start by thinking about Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ. I wanted to ask this question. What was the relationship between Mary and God before the visit of Gabriel, the angel? And you may say, well, it's a hypothetical question. We can't know the answer to that. How can we tell? But the question becomes very interesting when we consider God's relationship with ourselves. And I think that's fair. And I think we shall see that. And our first view of Mary is a simplistic one. The world sees it this way, that a young girl is suddenly visited and confronted by an angel. You see, we have no clues. Or do we? Or do we? We do. Mary is betrothed to Joseph. You could say she's half married. This is much more than an engagement that we have these days, where it can be terminated at a moment's notice. A betrothal was significant and far-reaching, also costly. They had rules and responsibilities. If you were only following tradition, which most marriages were, even so you would be brought face-to-face with the living God. As an aside, one of the extreme examples of the cost of a betrothal was Jacob, who had to work 7 years for each of his two brides, both Leah and Rachel. So what about Mary? Was she happy at the thought of being married to Joseph? Which technically she is. Does she have a say? Most marriages were arranged. Probably she doesn't have a say. And it would be a strategy of high risk to get pregnant, so you didn't marry the man you hated. But that's not right. You see, we have to consider God's point of view, because a relationship has to have two people coming together. Does the angel say that God chooses Mary because she's a rebel? No. Gabriel says to Mary, "You who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." That's a relationship. The Lord is with you. That is a relationship. Mary is troubled. No. She's deeply troubled, greatly troubled. She wondered what kind of greeting this was. What was this relationship? Then Gabriel uses Mary's name. "Do not be afraid, Mary. You've found favor with God. Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. In this relationship, do not be afraid. Wow, this young lady is addressed so wonderfully, and she's half married. And when we turn to God in Jesus Christ, the message is the same for us. Don't be afraid. You've found favor with God. That's fantastic. In this relationship, we see Mary. If we turn aside for a minute to think about Job in the Old Testament, the Lord says to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" What's the link? Have you considered? Not just looked at. God has already considered Job, weighed him, tested him, valued him, examined him. If we could eavesdrop on God as he was talking, and he was talking about you, what would you hear? What would he say about you? If we've turned to him in Jesus Christ, I believe he would speak about the relationship we have with him through Jesus Christ. Because he knows you and he knows your circumstances. Did the disciples hear Jesus talking to others about them? Probably. You'd expect it. Back to Mary. Choosing Mary is not a whim, not a lottery, not that will do or she will do. Mary is chosen by God to be the mother of the Saviour of the world. Can you imagine God being slapdash about that or anything else? Remember my opening question. What was the relationship between Mary and God like before the visit of Gabriel? I believe we're drawn to state that one, that the Lord God valued Mary, chose Mary, selected Mary, knew Mary's heart and her attitude. And that opens the door for me to say, does he know my heart too? And do I want that? Can I bear that? In Scripture, the condemnation of those who are rejected by God, who turn away from God, is that Jesus says, "I never knew you." So I do want Jesus to know me. I'm drawn to him, even though I'm dreadfully aware of my weaknesses and my failures. I say, come, Lord. And he says, don't be afraid. We have instances in the Gospels where it seems clear that Jesus knew people and he challenges them and loves them where they are in their failing and stumbling. That's helpful. It's not that Jesus knows people in general, though he does. He knows them, the individual's heart. He knows your heart, knows my heart. The man I call the rich young man or the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, "What do I need to do to inherit the kingdom of heaven?" And we can speculate about what he really wanted. The point is this. In Mark's gospel, we read that Jesus looked on him and loved him. The commentary says, earnest, tender, searching look. So Jesus gives this man the answer he really needs. Not necessarily for everyone, but for him. This man in this situation with his riches possessed him. He said, "Sell everything, have give it to the poor and follow me. That will give you better security." And Jesus is the only one who can cure the heart. In Lower Early, this church here, we're looking through a series, Where Do We Grow From Here? It's about the church and reaching people who don't and won't come here. And the question for me is, are we serious? Are you serious? Are you convinced and convicted that something you should be doing? My dress today is partly due to my reading a book by John R.W. Stott called What Christ Thinks of the Church. The book looks at revelation of the Lord Jesus, risen Lord Jesus Christ, and the message that Jesus gave to the seven churches in the province of Asia, now part of Turkey. The Apostle John has the wonderful and frightening experience we've just read from Revelation, a vision of the risen and glorified Jesus Christ among seven lampstands and holding seven stars. Again, commentators say that the fact there are seven churches, seven stars, is significant. Perfect number seven means all churches are covered by this. That includes us. And my attention is drawn again to John, who falls face down in front of the living Jesus Christ, as if dead. The result of being overwhelmed by what he sees and hears. How much we need that today. We want to be overwhelmed by God. And in this situation, Jesus puts his right hand on John and says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Here it is again. Don't be afraid. John's on the island of Patmos in exile because of the faith of Jesus Christ. And chapter 1, verse 10 says he was in the Spirit. This means an intense personal relationship with the Lord. And Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ meets John in a supernatural way. John has the experience, but in a way it's not for him. It's for the seven churches. So it's for us. John is the channel and the worker. God says to him, Jesus says to him, write this. It's not airy-fairy emotional froth. This is Jesus announcing his encouragements and his chastisements of the church that bears his name. And the picture is Jesus walks among the lampstands and holds the seven stars, ownership of his church. In the same way as we thought about Jesus talking about us, we might hear Jesus sharing his views about a lower early Baptist church. We'd probably find some of the important things, which appear to be important to us, he's not interested in. There are other things which are important to him. And the point I want to make is that Jesus knows. Just like Mary, just like the rich man, when Jesus looks at us with tender love, he knows what our heart is like, what our heart needs. He knows not only our personal situation, but our circumstances in which we live our lives. He knows that because he loves us. Everything is open. Nothing is hidden. What sort of a person are you? Everyone has their own nature. We can see that to some degree. I tend to be secretive. Part of my nature, to be secretive. I don't much like the thought that people can know my mind. Do you have the same experience that I have sometimes of saying something and it's exactly what somebody else is thinking? Or perhaps they say something and exactly what you're thinking? It's unique. I suppose the more you live with somebody, the more likely it is you think along the same lines, and it's quite possible that you will express the same thoughts in the same way that somebody else thinks them. Sometimes it comes out of the blue. Can you tell what I'm thinking by my face, by my body language, by my habits, what I like and don't like? To some extent, yes. What if you could read me like a book? What if you could read me like a book? What if I have nowhere to hide? Do I still want Jesus to know me? Examine my weaknesses and failures. Point out my strengths and advise me how to avoid complacency. in this message to the seven churches, Jesus Christ says to each church, I know, I know, I know, I know. We are open before God. Where do we grow from here? We have a church meeting at the end of this service. Is it important? At the moment, it seems to be very important to us. What's more important to God is that we're face to face with Him. Being honest with God. When we're serious about turning to God, in Jesus Christ, He says, don't be afraid. Some thumbnails out of the messages of these seven churches. Ephesus was told that they were lost in their busyness and they neglected Jesus Christ. That's common. Smyrna were overwhelmed by the tribulation and suffering they were in. We don't have to look very far in the world to see that. Pergamum, dwelling in a pagan world, we are. Thyatira, tolerating Jezebel, some unchristian teaching in the church. I've seen that. Sardis, seem to be alive, but you're really dead. Seen that. Philadelphia, open door set before you. Will you go through? I've seen that. Laodicea, think yourself rich, but you're poverty stricken. If Laura Early were to be placed alongside these seven churches, what would Jesus say? Remember that He knows us and values us. If we turn to Him, He says, don't be afraid. John Stott ends his book like this. We've seen what Christ thinks of His church. We've considered the marks that should characterize it. Love for Christ and willingness to suffer for Him. Truth of doctrine and holiness in life. Inward reality and an evangelistic outreach to others. With an uncompromising wholeheartedness in everything. We've watched it hard-pressed by sin, error, and lethargy within, and by tribulation and persecution without. But we cannot leave them thus. With chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, we turn from the church on earth to the church in heaven, from Christ among the flickering lampstands to Christ near the unchangeable throne of God. The winds of judgment will not blow upon those who have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, and the church's security is guaranteed by the Holy Trinity. Can you read me? Can you tell what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, what's inside me? You're very clever if you can, because I really can't tell myself. But I know one who does know me through and through. Turn to Him, and He says, don't be afraid.